Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. Tonight, I have a very special guest who I am extremely excited to have on the show. I've been pretty excited about all day, and I'm actually coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada tonight. So my guest on tonight's show is Devin Kearns. And Devin is known to many people as the rock star of dating. He has made it his mission to empower 1 million single professionals by the end of 2016 and helped them cut through the usual pitfalls of dating and finally find the crazy passionate love that they have dreamed of. He has devoted himself to helping men and women master the art of knowing themselves well enough to get what they really want out of dating, relationships, business, and love. Devin has created simple tools and action steps for single professionals that allow them to experience real results before and during their journey to find love. These same tools and action steps can and should be applied to all the areas of life, including business, sales, and leadership. So I'd love to welcome Devin Kearns on the show. Devin, thank you so much being a guest. Hi.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. And tonight we are specifically going to focus on or discuss why women really do love assholes and bad boys, one of my favorite subjects, and help people out there get some real, tips from you. So, Devin, let's just dive right in. So how did you get into this business, and how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I'll, for the sake of the listeners right now, I'll try and keep it short. It's not exactly the shortest journey as many people who go through life and discover what they are, I guess you could call it destined or meant to do. I find it's my calling and mission in life, but it doesn't necessarily always fulfill the ego in me, because I was a business coach for quite some time and leadership development, and working with sales forces and thousands of people across the U.S. from Florida to Alaska and everywhere in between. But there was a pretty consistent theme even all the way back to high school, which was, I just always ended up around women. And that sounds like a very great thing when you're a straight guy that in pursuit of beautiful women. But in general, I was, for some reason, the entrusted confidant in a lot of conversations all the way back to high school, where people would just come up to me and ask questions about their boyfriends or talk to me about really deep, intimate things. And I was like, wow, I don't know. I mean, I guess try this or try this. And then they'd come back and ask me more questions. And, and so I ended up through that process being one of the only straight guys invited to like slumber parties or like all these girly events. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. I mean, I'm not going to say no, because who would, but you fast forward a little bit and I go to coach a boys soccer team. I grew up playing soccer. I wanted to do something manly, and I was learning, studying nutrition, studying business and personal training and all that fun stuff at like 18, 19, 20, 20 years old. And I wanted to go coach soccer, and I had some time in the afternoons to do so. And not only did I end up with a boys team to get them ready for competitive soccer, but apparently the soccer club felt compelled to give me 18, 12, and 13-year-old girls to coach as well. So not only did I have 18, 12, and 13-year-old girls that I'm now coaching and learning about how to deal with them, because I'm such a dude, right? And like, how do I handle 18 of these girls? And I end up falling in love with these girls, really finding them fascinating from all kinds of dynamics. And I actually ended up coaching the same core 13 girls out of that team for almost 7 years, up until they were 18 and 19 years old. So I went through their entire teens with them. In some cases, more than friends and more than parents, because I had them 2-3 hours a night for almost 6 days a week. It was just an amazing journey. And so I I guess I've always attracted that energy and always attracted that into my world. And I kind of understand why now, because even in business, as I moved into building companies and I ran a huge sales force of thousands of people across the nation, even in leadership development, even in working with people in sales, as I would work with these men and women, but mostly women, because we were in a nutrition kind of weight loss business. It was so interesting because, you know, I'd get these strong, amazing, incredible women up to these six-figure incomes, and all of a sudden we'd start seeing a decline in their production and in their sales. So I'd fly out to meet with them. And what would end up happening was it was never business-related. Most of them were 5, 10, 15 years older than I was at the time, and they were married with kids or just married, and they ended up problems in the relationship. So here I am again sitting around observing and listening to relationship issues when I wanted to help them in business. And so it's always kind of come about in my life, and I learned a lot. I learned so much from these thousands and thousands of conversations regarding relationships, and particularly in the marriage section, in these long-term relationships where, you know, what was really happening and where was the real mistakes. And then I decided to walk away from that world and become a consultant. And as I'm sitting down with people and as I'm in my own dating process, I'm coming across women and sitting down with them. And I start observing certain behaviors that I would see in them that ultimately were somewhat of a red flag for me and not really what I'm looking for. So I'd be honest with them and, you know, hey, let's take off our dating hat and let's talk about what it is you really want, what it is you really need. And when I'd ask this question, it was so interesting because I consistently got the same answers. I want a guy who's honest. I want a guy who's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you and the last 1,000 women I've talked to want these same things. So if everybody wants the same thing, why aren't we finding it? And I think it's because we don't dive deeper. So then I'd start diving deeper with them. And I found that there was a real need to discover some of the things I actually learned indirectly from being in business, but sitting down with these married couples in relationships. And I saw where the red flags were and what caused the demise of their marriage was actually in the first 4 to 6 weeks of dating. And because it was in the first 4 to 6 weeks of dating, I decided maybe, you know, after getting a couple hundred people saying, you need to write a book on this stuff. This is like, I've never thought about it this way. I finally decided to sit down and start writing a book. And then I made the decision to move into coaching in the space. And now I'm built a university of dating and I've got my own brand out there. And now we're even moving into officially in 2016, a matchmaking service. So pretty, pretty amazing how life unfolds. And when you're listening to your calling, the world just kind of gives it to you and hands it to you, whether you want it or not.
Yes. I completely agree in terms of my path on that last statement, for sure. Like, you know, just looking at the last 6 months of my life going, wow, last May, if you told me I was doing radio, I would have laughed at you. And here I am now, right?
So
I love your story and love how you've gotten. Yeah, it is. It's following that awareness and going, yeah, let's try this out. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about, you know, why you've learned all these things from women. So why do women end up with jerks, assholes, and bad boys instead of the nice guys?
it's always a fun tagline because when you look at the marketing and advertising side of things, there seems to be a lot of people that clicked on it. When we first put out our video about, you know, why men cheat or why do men love the assholes, it's hilarious because it gets the most clicks of anything I put out. And clearly it seems to be in the dating space. And I'd say it's two-part, right? There are genuine jerks out there. And then there's more of the bad boys. And then there's the smaller percentage, but unfortunately it's happening too often, which is the, you know, I wouldn't even call them assholes. There's the abuse, the verbal abuse and all that stuff. And I want to clarify right now, I'm not necessarily talking about those situations, and those are horrible. And if anybody's in that situation, seek help and figure out ways to get out of that circumstances, because you don't deserve that at all. And on behalf of all men, before I even dive into this, I usually like to start out my conversations by saying to women that most of us are great. We might do really dumb things in very dumb ways. But I can tell you in conversations I have with so many men as well, especially being in the space that I'm in, on behalf of men, I do want to express that we love you. And it is most men's intent not to harm. It's actually most men's intent to please. But it is a very confusing world, especially today in dating. And again, we're doing really dumb things on a very frequent basis, and the amount of dumb things I'm seeing men do, some of which are not forgivable, like the dick pics and the tactics that they're learning from pickup artistry and the jerk comments. And, you know, the downside is psychologically those things work. When you get a message from a guy on a dating site and he starts out of the gate just beating you up or tearing you apart or saying something that's totally asshole-ish, the reason why it works is because it invokes a response out of you and you respond instead of ignoring. And I think my number one lesson before I even get to answering your question is, if a guy's being a jerk to you in the beginning, it's not going to change because you're feeding into that behavior. So if you respond to it, even though you're responding, trying to get him back or tell him how mean he's being or whatever, he's still getting a response from you, which is exactly what he's trying to do. And it's actually a tactic that is taught, unfortunately. And my suggestion is don't respond. Just don't respond at all.
Funny you should say that. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, and then he said, well, I don't chase women. I said, oh, too bad. And then started to, you know, get on me about my, you know, say something about I don't chase women, especially, you know, curvy girls. And I was like, all right, block, goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you
wanted a response, and I just hit the delete button.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's very worth chasing.
Yeah.
Right? And not only that, I feel like, and there's variations of that too, right? There's the and again, I apologize, I'm not answering your question yet, but there's so many variables to this.
That's okay.
When a guy lacks emotional intelligence, which unfortunately guys today, we lack a lot of emotional intelligence, and we're very reactive when we feel like we're being rejected. Most women are trying to reject you. And I think one of the biggest things I teach in what I call finally understanding men is helping women understand that men are actually hypersensitive. And when we're hypersensitive, this is where the asshole nature comes from. And this is where our guard goes up, or this is where we become hyper wimpy too. And that brings me around to answering your question, which would be, why do women go for the jerks and the assholes? And it's because they'd rather put up with that. For the most part, they'd rather put up with a guy, as an example, who is going to do what he's going to do and go where he wants to go and do the things that he loves. And if you decide to go with him, great, because it's better than the alternative. And what the alternative is, for most women, when I ask them, how do you feel when a guy that you're interested in looks at you and goes, no, I don't care, baby, what do you want to do? What's the natural reaction that most women do? Huh?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
You mean that's what you say back?
Typically, well, yeah, or, I mean, to me that question is like hearing nails on a chalkboard.
Exactly. That's
it's
exactly
like,
right. And that's... And for all the men listening to this, or all the men that ever hear this, if you never ask that freaking question again, you will do yourself and humanity a favor, because women, I'm literally, there are very few things I'm 100% on. I usually nail stuff on statistically around 80%, but 100% of the women I've asked, and trust me, I talk to a lot of them, none of them go, oh, you know, I think that's sweet that he wants to know what I want to do. They hate
Yeah.
When they hear a guy saying, I don't care what you want to do, because that's actually a direct translation into the bedroom. Because
right.
now what you know that guy's going to do in the bedroom is, oh, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to? And there's nothing
right,
sexy
right.
from a masculine perspective regarding that. Nothing.
No, yeah, that's exactly where you're like, yeah, that's, you know, yeah, that's exactly. It's subliminal languaging to, you don't even know how to take care of me there if you don't know how to take me on a date.
Yeah, if you don't have a plan for dinner, for God's sakes, you've had a week to plan this freaking thing. How in the hell are you going to have a plan in the bedroom? I know you don't. Don't.
Yeah.
And usually, unfortunately, it translates out to be true. And it doesn't matter how big your junk is. It doesn't matter the motion of the ocean. None of that matters if you are getting – this sounds terrible, and I'll explain it here in a minute. But if you get a woman into her head, that is the most dangerous territory you could ever put her in.
Right.
Because let's talk about the bedroom as an example. If you ask her a question like, what do you want me to do in the bedroom? Somehow that question leads to her shopping or her in a grocery store. And now she cannot experience any pleasure from you because she doesn't believe that she's ever going to come back and out of her head because you don't know how to get her out of her head. And
right.
for women, for every thought that a woman has, they've got 16 points of data that fire. A man has
mm-hmm.
9. So
yeah.
they literally have almost double the thought and double the synapse firing for every thought. And when we ask questions in terms of dating, right, a woman's brain in business, a woman's brain out in the world is probably one of the greatest gifts to the world. But what's the greatest gift from women is when we can move you out ahead and you can listen to heart and intuition, because that is your gift to our planet, is heart and
yeah.
intuition. Your intuitive thinking in terms of business is much more effective than your thinking, and you ladies know what I'm talking about because it's pretty chaotic. One strand of spaghetti, if they relate it to the spaghetti brain, right? Like you stick a fork in to pull out one noodle, and the woman's brain is like a bowl of noodles. You stick one fork in and you try and pull out one noodle, you're getting 50. And,
mm-hmm.
and yet your intuition, your gut instinct, that womb energy, that feminine energy, will always tell you the truth. And the more you can be in that space, and especially for men in dating, the more you can move her into that space, the more safe she feels, the more she trusts you. And men, the way you do that is by having a plan. If you have a plan
mm-hmm.
and she can look at you and go, he's got this, she moves out ahead and she moves into instinct and intuition. And if you can get her there, she moves into a feminine energy because she feels trust. And when she feels trust, she can be fun and flirty and energetic and emotional and everything that we love about women. And the man can stand in the presence of that masculine energy and stand there and be true to that energy and say, I've got this, don't worry. And that, I got this feeling in terms of dating, translates into the bedroom as, when we walk through those doors, I'm going to take you. And that's what
yeah.
women want. They want to be taken in the bedroom,
yeah.
right?
Yes. Yes.
So I don't know that women so much love assholes. It's just that they hate weak men more. And there's too many weak
yeah.
men today. Sorry, guys, to admit it. But men today have retreated in a major, major way, and men need to step up. Now, what I would have to say to women about that is men are being beat up a lot today. Some deservingly
mm-hmm.
so, but the vast majority are not deservingly so, because most women, in terms of dating, are like a 16-digit code, and they have no idea what they actually want and what they're really
right.
looking for. As an example, I just had a conversation with a gal today who is absolutely insisting that we go to dinner. And I'm saying, hey, let's grab a couple cocktails. Now, there are some women that if I invited them to dinner first, they would refuse to do dinner and they'd want to do cocktails. And then there's some that only want to do coffee. And then there's some who, if I ask them out the wrong way to even go do any of those things, they won't go do that. There's no consistency in dealing with women, and around every corner, if men's biggest fear is to be rejected by the girl that we really want to take out or that we really want to date, if our biggest concern is avoiding rejection, but we don't know what the consistent thing is that works for women, and we don't stand true to our what we want, right, and what we believe we want to do and have that plan, then we're constantly trying to avoid rejection instead of stepping into that masculine space and making that plan, because I can't make a plan because I'm afraid that she may not like that plan. And so there's give and take on both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you suggest men do to find, like, let's say they're really to avoid rejection, they want to make a plan, but they're going, gosh, I asked because I really don't know what she wants. So what tips do you have for men to find out what a woman would like to do?
Instead of going down a checklist as an example, which feels like more like an interview, my suggestion is follow a general protocol, and it really depends on the date, right? So I kind of lay it out in terms of whether you met online or whether you met offline. And my personal feeling is if you're dating online, which it shouldn't even be called dating online. It should be called online connecting. Because dating, right, if you're dating online, that's catfishing, right?
It is just meeting people, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you've never met the person and your romance is through the internet only, then that's catfishing, because you don't even know if the person's real. They're just a bot or they're somebody totally fake. But in terms of using the efficiency of online dating as a tool to connect with more people, it's just casting out a bigger net, right? But the thing that we forget about, and a lot more women tend to do this than men, although men make a lot of mistakes. Men make too many mistakes online, I'll put it that way. But the dilemma is the longer we communicate online, the higher the expectations, mm-hmm, the more we're let down on that first encounter. And really, the first date when you meet somebody online should not even be considered a first date. It should be, do we connect or do we not connect? And do we have chemistry or do we not have chemistry? And I don't mean sexual chemistry, just a little bit of interest that we want to see each other again.
Yeah.
If you think of how we've worked up until the internet age and up until these dating sites, the way our world worked and the way we've been programmed genetically and society-wise is you're doing your own thing. You're walking through Whole Foods. I find you attractive. I approach you and I ask you out. I didn't just find you attractive, though, but you connected with me in that moment, and you said yes for one reason. I intrigued you a little bit. If I didn't, mm-hmm, do that and you felt a creepy vibe, you would have said no. Right?
Yeah.
So if that's the normal situation, we have to respect the idea that when I'm walking through Whole Foods, I'm observing you and you have no idea that I exist, or you're observing me and you have no idea that I exist. And then we encounter each other in our own state. Like, you may be in yoga pants and just getting out of yoga, and I may be in board shorts and flip-flops. But I only have this opportunity now to connect with you, and we both see each other in more of a natural state. The dilemma with, mm-hmm, online dating is when I encounter you for the first time, I have actually prepared to be on a date with you. Therefore, it's a false chemistry. If I'm prepared to meet you, if I went home, as an example, and we're doing cocktails or we're doing dinner, which I never recommend doing dinner when you've never met this person before. I think it's the stupidest thing you could ever do. When I encounter you and I went home, and particularly for the ladies, right, they're like, I actually have a YouTube video about how this whole joke, you guys can look it up later, but it's this idea that she's getting ready and, like, all of a sudden, like, because I give good text and I give good profile, like, I'm this great person and I'm possibly the one, and you can't help but possibly think about the one, so I'm going to really like, I'm going to take time to curl my hair and put on this cute dress and like get all ready and everything else. And so, and then I took all that time and energy to go get ready. And I encounter this person, and he could still be a good guy, but there's no way he's going to live up to the expectations that you've already set when you don't even know if there's a connection or not.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's just this false expectations that come from the online space because we do it to ourselves, and we put ourselves in crappy situations. So my suggestion is, if you're dating online and you've never encountered this person in before, go to the most casual environment you could possibly go to and do it before 6 p.m., period. Mm-hmm. Do it. Go get coffee. Go get tea. My favorite response that I get from unfortunately, a lot of women, not a ton, I shouldn't say that, but I've had it several times in the last couple of years is, well, I'm too good for coffee. And I'm like, no, you're not. I don't know that. I don't even know if you're real. You could be a 500-pound dude on the other side of this thing. Like, what do you mean you're too good for coffee? Are you a free meal? What the hell does that even mean? And it's the stupidest comment I've ever heard in my life. Like, if I like you, let's go directly somewhere else, right? Let's meet over coffee so there's no pressure. Let's meet and see if there's a connection first, and let's do it in a normal way. As normal as it can be, encountering each other for the first time on this awkward situation. And if you just left yoga class, awesome. If I just got off work, awesome. Because now we're kind of in our daily routine, and it's as close to encountering each other in the same kind of way that we would in a bar, a restaurant, Whole Foods, or the grocery store, whatever, right? We're setting ourselves up for success to just see if there's chemistry based on who we actually are, not this false date persona that we put on. And for men, just kind of insist on that. Like, if she says, I don't like coffee, great. Guess what? They also serve at coffee shops. They also serve water. They also serve tea. But most women actually don't like the dinners. Most women actually don't like doing cocktails occasionally. I mean, it really just depends, but I even don't suggest that unless it's like a must, right? Like, it's a little weird to drink coffee at 6 p.m. You could do the tea thing, and I get it that our schedules are busy, or maybe we won't be able to meet for the next 3 weeks because we're super busy, so we have to go out that evening, and I guess grabbing a beer or wine or whatever is fine if you need to. But I think if you're dating online, then that's the way to go, is the most casual encounter before 6 p.m. And if you've met each other before, you've met offline, then go get some cocktails first. Go get something to drink first and connect in a shorter period of time, because there's a lot of pressure in doing a dinner. There's a lot of pressure behind being stuck with each other for 2 hours when we really don't know each other. And the only time that this is different is if you have known each other through friends of friends, or you've hung out a lot in the past, and you just decided, you know what, I'm tired of ignoring this chemistry that I have with you. I'm tired of ignoring the fact that I feel this connection with you. I actually worked up the courage to ask her out, but we've known each other for a while. Then go do the dinner thing, right? Blow her mind because you've known each other. But if you're talking about somebody you just met or somebody you met online, like, keep that first date simple and just see if there's chemistry. And if nothing else, do it for your frickin' bank account, because I know guys that take women out and they spend $150, $200 on dinner. And if a guy goes to 2 dates a week but does that twice a week for a year, my God, that's like $20,000.
Yeah.
Why would
that's
you
a lot.
Do that? On people you're never going to see again, right? You're looking for one person. You're not looking for 200 dates.
Most of us
doesn't
are.
Make sense. Well, yeah, I mean, even if you are, like, save some money a little bit. I don't care how rich you are. That's just blowing money on. And it's not to be offensive towards women. Like, all men believe we want to put you on a pedestal if we're really into you, and all women deserve that. But get a realistic mindset around the idea that I don't know this person. Why in God's name do I want to be stuck with him for 2 hours?
Right.
If I don't like him, that's just stupid.
I had a first date at a Rockies game once, and there was, like, no chemistry. And talk about, like, the longest 3 hours of my life.
And you feel bad leaving, and you don't want to, like, hurt his feelings. And but that's because you're setting yourself up for failure, right?
Yeah. For sure. Well, Devin, we are going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to go to commercial break and be right back with Devin. So we will see you all, or you'll hear from us in a few.
Hey, this is Alvin. And this is Calvin. We're the godsons of the late legendary Godfather Soul himself, Mr. James Brown. We'll be at the 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, June 5th, 2016, brought to you by Faces of Success Radio. And as the Godfather always told us, whatever we do, it's got to be funky. See you there. Good God.
Chris Brown, set it up.
Proudly presents the 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion Dinner and Award Ceremony.
Wait, oh, I
Saturday, June 4th through Monday, June 6th, 2016. Nominees and performances by Evelyn Champagne King, Johnny King, GQ, Troop, Climax, Victor Orlando, Roy Hamilton Jr., Club Nouveau, Richie Rich, Lamar Lubin, and more. All hosted by Gail Scott King and Big Mike Robb. Also, special guest appearances from Earl Young, Khalilah Ali, Sherry Gordy, Joe Levy, and Ziola Gay, with special honors going to Marvin Gaye and Robert Franklin Brookins. Tickets available now. Group rates available at facesofsuccessradio.com.
You can book your room now using our group code RADIO.
The 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion Dinner and Award Ceremony at the Grand Sierra Resort Crystal Ballroom, Reno, Nevada. For more information, go online to facesofsuccessradio.com. Brought to you by Faces of Success Radio.
Welcome back to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on Faces of Success Radio. I am live with Devin Kearns, and we've been talking about why women are attracted to the bad boys and the assholes and not the nice guys. Again, one of my favorite topics to talk about. And again, this is a live show, so if anyone out there listening has any questions or comments, just dial 323-642-1569 and just dial 1 and we'll get to your call. We'll get to your call. So before the break, Devin had some really good tips in terms of, you know, what to do on that initial first date. So grab coffee, do something simple, especially if you're meeting in an online or if you've initially connected in an online dating situation. So, you know, Devin, I love the content. It's been great. So how did you kind of start to discover or, like, what makes you an expert in this area? How did you just – and we've kind of touched base on it, but how have you really figured out all this?
You know, I think, like, through anything in life, you make your mistakes, and hopefully you learn from others, and it's kind of a combination of both, right? Like, I have had the fortune of having a lot of great relationships, and because we've not ended on bad terms, I'm always one for growth. I'm always one for knowing how I could be better or what caused the breakup, right? And in some cases it was my choice, and in some cases it was theirs. And so, you know, we're very good. I'm very open to communication, and a lot of the feedback that I got from my own personal journey as well as my own personal growth, I had to explore my own desires and mistakes and things that I've done in terms of dating, and really be honest with myself. What was I doing, and what do I really feel a large part of my training, the Finally Understanding Men training, comes from an exploration of my own personal feelings and my honest to God true feelings that I normally wouldn't share with the public. But as a man, how do I really feel, and what are those circumstances and situations and emotions that occur? And through that vulnerability, through myself and through conversations that I was having with some of the coaches that I personally work with in all facets of my life, and exploring those, we discovered a lot of detail and a lot of content. And, you know, in addition to my own personal growth and personal journey and being willing to be vulnerable and open and honest with myself to discover what I do as a man, I do the same with women, and I get them to go deeper. What is it they really want? What is it they really need? And because I do feel like I'm on a mission, and one of my gifts in life is, it's kind of a graphic description, but I'm one of those individuals where if I encounter you and I can see you're stuck in some part of life, I feel like it's my job to split your head open and plant a seed and close it back up. And it's not always the nicest experience, and I leave a lot of people feeling fairly not necessarily my clients per se. I do it a little more easy, but if I've got a single encounter with somebody and they're really kind of stuck, I challenge them a little bit, and I get into the real core of what's happening, and I drop a seed in there, And in that moment, it doesn't feel very good, but ultimately what I end up getting on a consistent basis, one I've had for years and years and years in my life, is people coming back to me 6 months, 8 months, 12 months down the road, and because I cut deep enough and planted the seed deep enough that it started growing, and over time they couldn't see the seed, but they started noticing the repercussions of planting that seed, and that it stuck with them. And as it stuck with them, they couldn't get that voice out of their head. And ultimately it created a small change, which led to bigger change, which led to what they were really wanting and what they're really looking for. And I've had that feedback for 15 years, for a long period of time, which was what led me to coaching and business. But even in my coaching and business, sitting down with people in relationships, what I discovered in most of the marriages that were going to end or that were doing bad, the mistake wasn't now. The mistake wasn't the problem we have 15 years down the road. The mistake was made in the first 4 to 6 weeks of dating. It was the it was the red flags that were ignored, and the lack of clarity, because we don't teach, like, we teach how to go make a dollar all day long, right? We can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. We can spend tens of thousands of hours studying something to make a dollar. But I don't know of anybody other than those that choose this as a career path outside of our traditional education system and our universities that's really teaching people to figure out as much detail about one of the most important decisions of your life, called being committed to somebody for long term, or marriage, and signing one of the most ridiculous contracts you'll ever sign in your life. Ridiculous meaning you can't get out of it without losing a lot.
Right.
Exactly. And yet we've done almost no work before entering a contract that's one of the craziest contracts you'll ever end. And people feel stuck in that 10 to 15 year mark. And what I found was, if I could just work with people, knowing what I've heard 1,000, 1,500 times in working with couples over 10 years, if I could just help them not make those same mistakes in the first 4 to 6 weeks of dating, it's not going to be 100% success rate, but the odds are going to go way up that they've got a better marriage. Or for a lot of people, they're just repeating the marriage cycle because it's what our society says we need to do. But a lot of people probably shouldn't even get married. But because it's what the world does, and because it's what our society does, it's what we do, and we pay the consequence long term, and both parties pay that consequence. So I learned a lot from my own journey, and I learned so much in the observation and truly listening to the core issues of what was really going on and what really led to the demise of relationships. And it was always in those first 4 to 6 weeks of dating. So if people can take anything away from what I teach, it's coming from those who would not make that same mistake again. And if we can just learn early, and it isn't even really about Devin and Devin's opinion, it's about how do we avoid the pain of the long term by putting a little bit of pain up front and discovering and taking the time to discover, who am I, what do I need in a partnership, not what do I want in a partnership, because what I want and what I need are very different things usually. And what I mean by need in a partnership is personalities, like understanding my personality and understanding that somebody being the best version of them, but if their personality does not match up with mine, meaning if it doesn't complement my personality, the best version of them could destroy me, or the best version of me could ultimately destroy them over time, versus finding somebody that has a complementary personality type. Because I know my personality so well, I know what would help me thrive and how I could help them thrive, because we understand each other. If you look at business, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have two CEOs in a business. Why don't we have two CEOs in a company?
I'm like, oh, there's a few reasons, but you know, you need someone to lead the way.
You need the leader, and you need the visionary, right? So a standard, not somebody that is deemed the title CEO, but somebody that is a great CEO that wasn't just given the title because they started the company, but somebody has that actually, if you did an assessment on them, they have a CEO personality. They're the visionary. They're the leader. They're not afraid to be in public. They're not afraid to sell the entire vision of the company. They motivate and they move people into action. That type of energy, the reason why you don't have two of them in an entity called a business is because both of those people probably have two different visions for the company. And if two people have two different visions and two different leadership styles, it'll split the company in half and the company would be destroyed, right? So the same thing could be looked at in terms of a relationship. If I find it really hot and really fun and really sexy when I sit down with another woman who's got a visionary leadership, amazing personality that would be a great, you know, or is a great CEO. And it feels so good because we've all been on that date where we're like, oh my God, me too, me too, me too, me too.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the problem with a me too relationship?
Competition.
Either, yeah, one is competition. Two, we're bored out of our mind. And particularly
right.
if in my case, I'm very much that CEO, visionary, dreamer, outlandish sales guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out in public and I'm not afraid to do these radio interviews and I love it and I get off on that and all that fun stuff. But we're also not great at details, right? And so
<Yeah. laughs>
if we're not great at details and organizing and structure, here's what happens. I'm dating now the entity. Instead of a business entity, now I've entered a relationship entity, right? There's you, there's me, and then there's the entity of the relationship. And you fast forward with the whole Me Too factor around being a CEO with another CEO in a relationship, we're pissed at each other 8 months, a year down the road because we both talked about all these big visions and big dreams and all these big things we wanted to do together, all these big trips we wanted to take together, but neither one of us had the structure or the organization to get anything done. So
yeah.
Now we're just pissed at each other because we thought the other person was going to take charge.
Right.
And it doesn't work, right? So when we
yeah.
get tired of that relationship, because I don't really understand my personality, or I didn't, because nobody taught me that I need to do this work in regards to dating. They taught me I need to do it in business, but not in dating. And now all of a sudden, because I got frustrated with the Me Too factor, the only thing my brain recognizes at that point is the exact opposite of me, right? The only
yeah.
thing I start to see and spot in somebody is, oh my God, you're totally different than the last person I dated, and I don't want that Me Too thing because that didn't work out. So I'm going to go totally to the other extreme. And for me as a business person, the easiest way of putting this would be more of the chief financial officer mindset and personality. So not somebody, again, that understands numbers and went through school and did numbers, but they've got this, like, numbers matter most. Bank account matters most. Now matters most, right? Forget about the dream, forget about the vision. If we can't look at the numbers now, we can't get it done kind of personality. Now, it sounds really harsh, and it doesn't sound fun, but some of these people are great people. In fact, most
yeah.
of them probably are great people and amazing people. But in terms of a business, we need those people in a business. And
right.
and the CEO relies on the financial officer, but doesn't necessarily always particularly communicate with them well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm talking about the big dream and the big vision, the fact that we're going to be a $1 billion company, and the chief financial officer is like, yeah, but right now we're barely at a million. So we can't quite go do those other things. And in business, we have a little more emotional intelligence, so we can handle that conversation better. But the same thing applies, again, if there's you, there's me, and the entity of a relationship, and now I went to the woman as a CEO personality. I go to the woman who's very numbers-driven. I find it so sexy in the beginning. She's so detail-oriented. I'm like, oh, my God, if I just go out and make the money, she's going to make twice as much money because she totally understands how to build the bank account and do savings and all this stuff, and the stuff I suck, and it's so great, right? But then we get around
yeah.
to planning that big trip. And I'm like, oh, man, you know what? We've made some great money, and let's go on this, like, month-long trip and just go visit Europe and go to Asia and do this great stuff. And not always, but somebody that's really focused on the numbers and really focused on savings, as an example,
uh-huh.
they're going to look at me and go, yeah, no, that's not happening.
Right.
and now the best version of them – and the best version of me are in such conflict that ultimately the CEO, the dreamer, gets destroyed in that relationship. because the numbers don't lie, right? Obviously, the bank account doesn't reflect that we can go do that right now, so my vision's constantly getting beat down unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to recognize these kinds of red flags in the beginning, because if we don't know ourselves well enough to know what we need in a partner, we end up in this dynamic of me too or the exact opposite of us, and the best version of us and the best version of them, because our personalities should not be together in terms of constant daily communication. And in business, at least you get to escape a little bit, right? In relationships, I mean, you're building a future together, and it's very different than the emotional intelligence you need to apply in business. So what I discovered through this, being the CEO type person, and I'm using myself as an example because it's the only example I can really talk about right now, is, is I need more of the operations officer. I need more of the event planner. I need more of that rock star, high-end executive assistant type of personality, because they understand the numbers. They're very good at communicating to the financial person, right? They love that side of it because they can see where they're at. But they truly get off, like totally get off on supporting a dream and a vision. So if you think about a bride's vision for her wedding, a great event planner listens to those details and sees it in their head, and they figure out exactly how to execute that and make that vision come true, right? Mm-hmm. And in business, you also need that, but in a relationship, for a CEO-type personality, again, not somebody that's been given that title, but a personality that fits that CEO title, for me, I need that event planner. I need that operations person who loves my vision, loves my dream. They're like, hold on, time out. That sounds great. Let me go talk and see where we're at with the numbers. So they go talk to our accountant in terms of the relationship, and they look at my account and their account, and they go, well, we're not quite there yet, but guess what? I've laid out an entire way of how we get there. And I'm going, oh, my God, you're the best thing on the planet. And the best version of me totally supports the best version of her, and the best version of her totally supports the best version of me. And, yeah, I'm sure we'll irritate each other sometimes, but, my God, how awesome would that be if we are both the best version of ourselves and it supports and thrives in a relationship instead of unintentionally tearing each other down? And I don't think anybody's intent in relationships and the relationships that I've sat down with, it's never been their intent to harm each other. That's why they decided to get married. It's not like, I hate you, you hate me, let's get married.
Right?
It's, oh my God, there's something here, and we get tricked by that chemistry. We get tricked by that falsehood and that maybe that sexual connection, but we don't know ourselves well enough to know what we need out of that partner. And so we fall into the trap of the mundane. We fall into the trap of the comfort zone. And we fall into the trap of the comfort zone. Well, it's better to have this person and not an empty bed than to actually cut ties. I don't quite know what the red flags are, but I feel the red flags. But, you know, maybe they'll change. Maybe those will be different. Maybe I can get them to be different. Or maybe I'll change. Very few people actually say that part. But, but it's not going to happen, right? And you fast forward in the relationships that I worked with 10, 15 years down the road, I asked these people, I said, listen, if you name the two red flags, what are those? And they name them in a heartbeat. And they were never like horrible things. It's not like I thought he was a cheater or I thought it was blah, blah, blah. Sometimes that happened. But usually it was just, you know, something fell off and it was this. And then we had this conflict once over paying the bill or whatever it may be, these little signs. And ultimately, when those signs are compounded by and in a marriage over 15 years, those become huge things, even though they're really not huge things. And that becomes the reason why they get divorced. Right?
Yeah.
So
I think
we need to do the work up front. And why I chose this path is to help people learn what I saw happening consistently in relationships. And that was, my God, if you just do the work while you're dating to figure out what exactly you're looking for, A, how much more fun can you have dating? How much clearer is it as to who you're going to target? I mean, it sounds like such a business term, but I mean, there's 140 million singles in the U.S. If you made the craziest list on the planet and only 1 in 10,000 people fit that, and if you're a woman and there's 70 million men, or you're a man and there's 70 million women, how do you choose the right one if you don't have a criteria? We have our friends and our family telling us all the time, oh, you're too picky. And I say, BS, you're not picky enough. You have no idea what you actually need, let alone what you think you want.
Right.
So
right. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's all you.
I was gonna say, a lot of people say that. In fact, we talked about it last week about being very, very clear about who you're looking for, and the dating process is, you know, helps you get clearer and clearer and clearer, especially when you really don't know. In fact, Darren Hardy is the CEO of Success Magazine, and he spoke, I got to listen to him speak back in August, and he said he wrote like practically a novel. I think it was around 30 pages about who he wanted his future wife to be. And he said, you know what? She showed up to a T. And it's because he got really, really clear about it.
That's right. Clarity is everything. Clarity in all aspects of life. If you talk to anybody that's in advertising or marketing, the first question I'm going to ask is, who's your target market? And I probably don't appeal to all people, but I aim at single business professionals, and I speak their language and I help them understand. Look, if you're standing up, let's say you're an esthetician, you own an esthetician's business, and it drives me crazy when I hear these estheticians stand up in networking events, and they're like, okay, tell us a little bit about who you're looking for and how we can help you. And they stand up and they go, anybody with skin. my concern is the person I'd see without skin. Like, that's the only person I'd notice, because everybody else has skin. So how in God's name can I help you if everybody's your target market? I can't refer everybody, right? And so you got to narrow that down. I was talking to one gal who I said, what did you do before being an esthetician? And she said, well, I was in real estate and mortgage. I said, great. So what if you became the greatest esthetician for real female realtors in Colorado?
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, but what about? And I went, what do you mean, what about? There's 10,000 of those here. You need 100 and you'd have a six-figure business. Like, what?
Yeah.
Do you, why do you need everybody? That's stupid. It's just so silly the way our brain works and why we don't think this through properly. And so she ended up having a really successful business. The same thing applies in dating. Like, if I walk into a bar and I'm not clear on who I want to talk to, and I'm not clear on the type of woman that I'm attracted to and how she carries herself and how she walks and how she talks and how she interacts, and is she the, you know, I could fall for the girl that'll spread her legs in 3 seconds, or I could fall for the toughest girl in the entire place, and either one probably is not conducive to a successful relationship. It just worked that night. But if I know that I need that confident woman who is that operations type woman who, you know, is an event planner, even through body language, I could spot her in any room because I'm so clear on exactly what I'm attracted to and what I need out of a partner. I could walk into any restaurant, any place, and if she's around friends, the odds are the gal that I would be most fit for and vice versa, she would be like kind of the one that's standing up and making sure that everybody's got napkins and making sure that, right? And her body language is kind of that mothering, nurturing, but at the same time, like getting shit done kind of personality. And you can see that in people. I could spot that in people. So that's the one I'd go talk to, especially if I'm attracted to her. But it also eliminates everybody else in that room, which makes it real easy for me to focus my energy on her. Instead of just going for anybody, right?
Right.
It's such a fun process once you get through it. And it is a lot of work, and most people aren't taught that we need to do that work ahead of time, which is why you don't. But, man, you've all seen the consequences of divorce. I'm like, why do you want to go through that? Why do you want to be in crappy marriages? Why do you want to be in crappy relationships instead of just doing a little bit of work up front?
Right, exactly. Well, Devin, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great.
Great content. So you have, so tell everyone, you have a special offer for everyone, but tell everyone how they can get that special free gift and how to get in touch with you.
Sure. The first, I want to thank you for this time, and hopefully I didn't talk everybody's ears off. I just get so passionate about this content, and I want people to find, you know, exactly what they're looking for in love. And the training that I've created is specifically for women from a man's perspective as to what men are doing today, why we're doing what we do, why we're behaving the way we're behaving, and equally as important, how to heal from past relationships and find what you're really looking for. And it's all summed up in this emotional intelligence training that I call the emotional scales, or finally understanding men. And that's my gift to everybody here, and the gift consists of two parts. There's a free PDF download that kind of gives you an idea of how to go out there right now and take some action on some decisions that will help you date and have a little more fun in the dating space, and definitely get that free PDF download. And then we've discounted my training, which is usually around $100, about 94% for everybody that's listening right now. And the only reason why we didn't make it totally free is because I want you to finish it. You got to have a little bit of skin in the game. Otherwise, I know people that get it for free don't ever watch it. And when you're not watching it, that totally defeats the purpose of why I created it. I didn't create it to make money. I created it so that you can go out and find love and find what you're looking for. And men that are listening, you can watch this as well. Just because it's about understanding men, it could really help you understand some things about your emotional intelligence as well as how women work, because I do address both sides of that. So forgive the directiveness of aiming at women, but that's the target demographic that I personally have. But it's very applicable for both sexes and very, very, very life-changing. So I encourage both of you to go get that. And I believe, if I'm correct, where they can access that is on the website. Is there a link on your site?
No. So I'll post a link. So we can post a link. There's the Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein Facebook group. So go check that out, and we'll post the link to that on that group site. So that's
okay.
A Facebook group, Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein.
Perfect. And then if that's the direct way to get there is just go to my website, which is Devon Kearns, DevonKerns .rocks. And yes, there is a .rocks out there. And that's kind of what I took since I was deemed a rock star dating and love, I decided to go with .rocks instead of .com. So make sure you go to DevonKerns.rocks and download that free PDF and watch that training. And I promise it will make a huge impact in your life. And again, thank you, Carly, for your time. And thank everybody else. And women, remember that men really do love you, and our job is to please you, and we're constantly in that state, and sometimes we make really dumb decisions even though our intent is to make you happy.
I love it. Well, again, Devon, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'll get things posted on Faces of Success and as well as the group pages for the show. And of course, for those of you in the Denver area, I have two events coming up in the next 2 weeks. As well. So Healing the Goddess for Women and Three Keys to Finding Your Perfect Partner in 2016 is happening on the 12th. And you can find out more about that on my Facebook pages, facebook.com/Carly Stein and Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. So everyone have a great evening and welcome to 2016. It is going to be a year like, I think it's going to be the best year for about everyone I know. So we're already kicking it off to a rock star like Devon, rock star start. So, yep. And next week we have Michelle Cobb on the show talking about adjusting the energy and the feng shui in your house for your perfect relationship. So that's going to be exciting. And then following that, we have my Women Tell All and Men Tell All shows. So you're going to want to tune in for those. So thanks you again for everyone listening. And we will see be on next Sunday. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.